Welcome back to the finance show of tiptv.co.uk. I'm joined by my co-host, who is Mike Ingram, a strategist at BGC Partners, and by a senior market analyst at Oanda.
Oanda.
I can't believe you're senior, actually. You must be like 20 years younger than both of us.
Yeah, but I still look at you. It's because I look a lot older than I actually am. All
right, so reverse.
It's not the age, it's the mileage.
Okay, right. So we're in the, run-up to the FOMC. Mm-hmm. This evening, only a 10% chance apparently of a rate hike, which means it's a dead cert, given the recent, given how well the market's.
Is this bookies odds or is this
exactly? Exactly.
So yeah, what's our approach? What sort of approach should we have on that?
I mean, there's very little chance. It would appear that I've got to stress it would appear because I don't want to stick my neck out again. But there's very little chance it would appear that we're going to see anything from the Fed. I can't imagine that they would want to rock the boat at a time when there's already so much uncertainty or already so much fragility in the markets. They're very focused. They have suggested that they're very focused on that in the past, and I think they'd want to talk up a potential rate hike before they do it. And also, we've already heard from the Bank of England, the ECB, etc., and they all say the same thing. We need to see more data to find out exactly what the impact of Brexit is on our economy, on inflation, on employment, etc., before we make a decision on further stimulus. So I can't imagine the Federal Reserve is going to be any different.
I mean, the Fed has dialed that back on its pre-referendum rhetoric there, hasn't it, in terms of the apparently it was going to be a significant event for the US, and then post the vote, apparently
it's almost like they were trying to influence us.
It's almost as if they, well, you know, it was all a bit of a bait and switch. Not that the Fed's ever done that before, of course. But the only thing that I was pointing out on the slide I put out earlier on this morning was that the data that's coming out of the US over the last 2-3 weeks has actually been quite strong on the upside. I mean, do you think that's something they're going to have to acknowledge in the statement today? Because it's very, very noticeable. Whether it's sustainable, of course, is another issue. But
To be honest, I think most of this year, I mean, the first quarter was soft, but that's the third year on the bounce that we've had weak data in the first quarter. So I think we've really got to address this whole seasonally adjusted business, because there's clearly nothing very well seasonally adjusted about it. We have a terrible first quarter, and then we have a bump up in the second and third, and maybe it slows down a bit in the fourth. Yeah. The data recently has been quite good. I mean, if you look across the last 18 months, the non-farm payrolls, for example, has been above 200,000 on average. That isn't bad, and we're fair enough that average has dropped as of late. But you've got to expect that when you drop below 5% unemployment, it's inevitable that the rate of job growth is going to slow down slightly. It's still more than enough to bring about higher inflation potentially down the line, and to see that we've got a tightening in the labour market itself. And therefore, I think the Fed will continue to talk up the potential for a rate hike this year. I think they'll dial back from 2 to 1, because I just don't see how 2 is possible at this stage.
Do you think the next dot plot will be just that? Do you think they'll take
Yeah, I think they'll be looking at December now. I know they said they're not influenced by the political side of things, but we've got an election in November. You cannot ignore an election and the impact that could potentially have for the economy. I think they'll find 1,000 excuses, and it's not that difficult to find an excuse at the moment as a central bank not to raise. Brexit risks, China risks, Italian banking and non-performing loans risk. They're the top three at the moment, but they just change all the time. So I don't think it'll be difficult for them to put it off at this moment in time, but I do still think they'll continue to say we're going to raise rates this year.
Do you think the dollar is going to feature in that to any extent they'd like to admit? Because I mean, the dollar is having a pretty good run at the moment, and of course there's the potential for that to have destabilizing effects, particularly in emerging markets, for instance, where traditionally a longer dollar has been associated with difficulties, shall we say, in that part of the world.
Yeah, sure. I think what we've got at the moment, we've got a market that is absolutely reluctant to believe that we're going to see rate hikes in the next 20 years. So what we tend to see is if the Fed talks up the potential for a rate hike, it gets largely shrugged off. Maybe we see a little bit of dollar strength. Yeah. If the Fed firmly stresses that we're going to see a rate hike in the very near future, then the market starts to pay attention. If the Fed gives any dovish hint whatsoever, like changing modest to moderate or anything like this, then the doll, then we see this complete collapse in it. So everyone goes, I knew it. We're not going to see a rate hike ever again. So there's, I always see there's more downside risk for
it's
the
an
dollar
asymmetric
than there is
sensitivity in terms of the message that's going out there.
Exactly. I always see more downside risk for the dollar ahead of these meetings than upside.
Speaking of asymmetric sensitivity, let's look at the first chart. I'm actually not sure what that means. It sounds good though.
Sound a bit weird, actually.
Yes, exactly. It doesn't actually sound very financial, but we're in the run-up to our friend Mr. Carney's pronouncement, August the 4th, I think it would be,
meeting?
Rate meeting, yes. Nothing's
for sure. We're 100% sure of that.
Exactly, yes, the rate meeting. How do you play this at the moment? Stand aside, or...?
I'm not sure. I think there's been so much downside pressure on this pair over the last week week and a bit that I just think, personally, it looks to me like unless we see some dramatic change, it looks like this 131 to 130.60 level just seems like it's going to be broken. I mean, what's this now? 5 out of 6 sessions or 6 out of 7 sessions now we've seen significant pressure to the downside on this. When we did break higher briefly towards 133, that got sold into earlier than it did last time. And this just looks so bearish to me right now. And I know this is one we touched on last week, and nothing enormously has changed from it, apart from the fact that every day since I was last in, we've continued to see that downside pummeled. And while the bulls have continued to hold on for now, I think about it from my perspective, and I'm thinking if I was long at this point, I'd be very, very anxious and very nervous about my position. Whereas if I was short, I'd probably feel quite okay about it, because it just... there's so much pressure to the downside at this minute. I feel like something's got to significantly change, probably fundamentally, to get that push to the upside and push aside.
Do you think there's any chance of the Bank of England throwing the market a curveball next week? I mean, we had an 88% chance of a rate cut last time.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen. 85% chance of a rate cut. At the moment, the market's pricing that in. Are we going to see that or not? Because obviously, if there is anything that could move sterling, certainly intraday, it's going to be passing on a rate cut again.
Yes, I totally agree with that. In terms of whether they will or not, I think it would really dent. I know. Obviously, people say the central banks have no credibility anymore, and there obviously is the argument for that.
We know Mark Carney has enormous credibility. Really.
I think you can get away with one saying, when you lead everyone to believe that you're going to cut rates and this is what you're going to do, and then you get Martin Wheel coming out yesterday, one of the more hawkish members of the MPC, saying, I'm now in favour of a rate cut. If they don't cut next... or
did he say that, though?
Not word. Not
easing policy, that covers quite a lot of ground other than just rate.
But if we get quantitative easing, I mean that should lead to the downside on the pound, you'd think they'd have to do something fairly significant. If they hold off again and say we need more data, then I do think you could potentially see some upside in the pound, because people start to say, God, why did I start listening to you again? Like we've seen inactivity for this long, and just when we started to believe you again, then you come and say this. And it just seems to me like it's almost inevitable that we're going to see.
We're nearly out of time. We'll go through the last couple of charts here. Upside for the dollar Canadian?
I'm just seeing it gyrate between these two moving averages, the 89 and 55, and it's grinding high right now. But I think it's quite clear that we are in a bit of a bearish phase for dollar CAD, and we're at the upper end of that phase. And I think 130, is it 133? Is it 132.50 to 133 is going to be really key. We're at this clear level, prior level of resistance. We've got the moving average, which has capped any moves to the upside at any time over the last few months. And it looks to me like it's looking a little bearish, and that upside moving average, the 89, is also coincide. Oh, the 55, sorry, also coincides with the 200 and 240 moving averages, which are converging on the daily chart as well. So I think it's going to take a big push to move above this level.
Commodities struggling as well.
Next, finally, my favourite, with the Bank of Japan breaking over the piggy bank again with its 28 trillion yen initiative. I mean, is that enough?
Well, the question is it going to be matched by the Bank of Japan, right? It's not just the initiative that we're going to get from this. It's the fact that this is kind of a partnered... this is something where they're coming together, which is what central banks and governments effectively should have been doing for years, coming together to try and stimulate the economy. If this package is larger than what the markets were expecting, does that maybe suggest that the monetary stimulus is going to be larger than the markets are currently pricing in? We had the rebound off that 50 fib yesterday, and now we're seeing more pressure on the Ichimoku cloud. If we can push through that Ichimoku cloud, then that could be quite a significant shift.
Okay, well, Craig Erlen, Senior Market Analyst at OANDA, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
We'll be back after the break.